Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you are joining us right here on this great Christmas Day, 2022. This year is nearly gone. We're about to go into 2023, and man, what a ride this year has been. This is Dr. Eric Stansberry, Senior Pastor at Restoration Bible Fellowship, this online fellowship. So glad that you're with us today, and I hope that wherever you are, you're warm, and that you awoken, you had a great breakfast already. Maybe you're going to your own church for worship, or perhaps I will be it for you today. But whatever, I want you to have a blessed Christmas day. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Pray for all of our troops who are away from their families, defending our freedom so that we can worship just this way. We want to pray for Billy and Bobby Parker, Lee and Kim Ball, Crystal Felty, all the pastors that are preaching this morning, that they'll keep people in mind of who this season is about. Continue to remember all those who are traveling. Remember those in Tennessee that were having the rolling blackouts due to the TVA having to make some decisions on the power grid. Pray for our nation in general, that God will speak to our leadership and overcome the voices, the cacophony of crazy people that are trying to keep their attention. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, power, grace, and your glory. We pray, God, that you'll reach out in the name of Jesus Christ and touch all of our troops. Keep them safe. Bring them home safely to their families. And Father, I pray this morning that you will reach out and through your power, continue to heal Billy Parker. Continue to heal Kim. Lord, continue to touch and minister to all of those who need a special anointing from you. Because I know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can think or ask or even imagine. And I pray, Father God, that you'll use the words this morning to stir up our hearts to become who you've called us to be on this Christmas day. We're going to be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. A few years ago, Mark Lowry with Buddy Green wrote a song called Mary, Did You Know? And when you hear him tell the story of how the song came to be, it was like, what questions would the disciples have asked Mary if she had known at the time what Jesus was going to do? I've heard a preacher one time talk about the song, against the song, saying certainly Mary knew, but did she? So I'm going to try to sing the song. I made the soundtrack myself in GarageBand. It's called Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod, make you new? The child that you delivered soon will deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Praise the Lord. And do you know him today? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I know that many of you, when you tune into a Christmas episode of anything, you expect to hear from Luke and Matthew and all the wonderful Christmas stories that we've told. But I want to take a different turn to it. There was a king at one time that loved his people, and he wanted to find out about his people, but he couldn't go anywhere as king because people would recognize him. So one night, he dressed himself in the clothes of a commoner, escaped the castle, and was able to spend time with his people. God had a plan for us when we fail. And I want you to come, if you have your Bibles, to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, being in the form of God, he did not think of it equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He emptied himself. He took the humble position of a slave, or the form of a slave, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was before his entrance at Bethlehem. Notice what John says in John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and nothing that was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything, and his life brought light to everyone. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus was with the Father at the beginning of creation. He was the Word. What you need to really grasp hold of is that we focus here at Christmas time on baby Jesus. Jesus in the manger. But what you need to realize is that the Jesus in the manger was born to be the Jesus coming as a king. John 17 and verse 5 says, "Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." He existed in Colossians before everything else and holds all of creation together. Before Jesus appeared in baby form, in infant form in Bethlehem, he was seated already with God. He was with God at creation. He was the Word that was spoken. All of the universe holds together at his word. And he stepped down from that to become us. Galatians 4 and verse 4, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law." Born of a woman, subject to the law. For him to redeem us, he had to become us. Timothy Alberino writes in his book, Birthright, that Satan could not sit on the throne of dominion of the earth because he was not of the earth. It had to be a human. But a human could not make the adequate sacrifice to renew us back to God. It would take someone fully God and fully man in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, "There is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Christ Jesus." You see, what you have to understand, what you and I need to grasp, is that by becoming one of us, he became subject to everything that we are. He spent 9 months in a womb. He spent the first few years as a toddler in dirty diapers and completely and utterly dependent upon Mary and Joseph. At the age of 12, yes, he did speak to the people in the temple, but when his parents came and said, I'll be about my father's business, but from that point on, he subjected himself to the authority of Mary and Joseph. The Creator became subject to his creation. But what began to, as Jesus began to grow, he painted for you and I a picture of absolute true obedience. It talks about that he became obedient to die a criminal's death on the cross. The word for obedience there is the word hupokaio. It comes from two words, hupo meaning under, and akaru means I hear. When you put the words together, they make the idea of a person under someone's authority and listen to what the superior is speaking to him. In other words, for us to truly be obedient, first of all, we must place ourselves under the authority of Christ. Secondly, we must be willing to listen to what Christ is saying today. In the book of Revelation, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. Let him hear. We have to be willing to turn off the cacophony of sound in this world and listen for the sound of his voice. And thirdly, we have to carry out what he's called us here to do. So many of us today are struggling, but I want you to, in the message, listen to Matthew chapter 8, and I'm taking this on the message. As Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a Roman captain came in a panic and said, Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He is in terrible pain. Jesus says, I'll come heal him. No, said the captain. I don't want you to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order, and my servant will be fine. I'm a man who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, he goes. To another, come, he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it. Taken aback, Jesus says, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. For the very people who are supposed to know all about God and how he works, this man is the vanguard of many outsiders who will be coming in from all directions, streaming in from the east, pouring in from the west, sitting down at God's kingdom banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then those who grew up in the faith but had no faith will find themselves out in the cold, outsiders to grace, wondering what had happened. Then Jesus turned to the captain and said, go. What you believed could happen has happened. At that moment, his servant became well. Notice what the centurion said. I'm under authority, so I get orders. And I have authority, so I give orders. And when I give orders, people do what I tell them to do. God put Jesus under his authority. Jesus then turns and puts us under his authority. And he turns and gives us authority over the spirit realm should we choose to exercise it. The problem with many of us, we don't want to be under authority, so we have no authority. To really grasp the power that he was offering and what the reason Jesus could do the miracles that he did was because he operated under the authority of the Father. At the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Father, I'm praying not for them to hear, but for them to know you and I have already talked. Lazarus, come forth. So many people today look at the Christmas story as, oh, look, it's baby Jesus, and we got some shepherds, we got some wise men, yay! And then we don't say anything else about Jesus until Easter or resurrection when we say, look, he came out of the tomb. But you've got to understand that because of Christmas, there's resurrection. Because Jesus stepped down from eternity and humbled himself, although he was equal to God, he emptied out himself into the position of a slave. You and I, before we become believers, are slaves to sin. Yet he became us. The Crab Family had a song. I had a friend, Bo Lewis, it used to sound like it, the way he sang it better than the Crab Family, but that's neither here nor there. He came looking for me. You see, we couldn't get to Jesus. We couldn't get to God, but he came to us. He took the punishment of the cross. We look at crucifixion, and we have all of these pictures of just a little bit of blood, nails to the hand. You know, if you look at the pictures, It doesn't do it justice. Josephus, in writing about Roman crucifixion, would say that the accused would go from the court to the place of execution with his arms outstretched on the cross beam. He didn't carry the whole cross, just the beam. And then when he would get to the place of execution, they would put him down on top of the cross itself, the beam, and they would take 5-inch nails and drive them through the bones in the wrist so that that way it wouldn't tear. Then once they had them firmly attached, they would drop the cross into place, which would be excruciating. And he'd already been whipped and scourged so that the wood would grate across those open sores on his back, causing that much more pain. They were stripped to nakedness. Then they would take their feet and drive the nail through the bones in the feet. So that, but now your shoulders are disjointed and you can't breathe. So to breathe, you push up, which would cause that nail to tear muscle and sinew to catch your breath. But the pain will become so excruciating that you slump back down. And eventually you lose the power as your arms begin to get farther and farther out of socket. You can't get up and catch your breath. And then you begin to asphyxiate. You began to die, terrible, painful death. You need to understand that he died in such a way that was horrible and humiliating. But he did it not because, he did it because of obedience to the Father. He knew, he prayed in the garden, Lord, if the Father is any other way, take this cup. But nevertheless, and it was, there was no other way to bring us home. There was no other way for you and I to come back to him except he go through the cross. He died a humiliating death. He died a horrible death. And he died so that you and I could be redeemed home to the Father. You see, Christmas is not just about, let's not be like others and just look for the wrong person at Christmas time. We're not looking for a baby. We are looking for the one, the King. As the Magi said, the King of the Jews, so that we may worship him. At the end of the verses that we read, it talks about that every knee will bow. A bow, a person who bends his knee in acknowledgement of God's authority. It expresses honor, respect, humiliation, and worship. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. To audibly, vocally, and publicly declare one fact. Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So, today, many of you have either open presents or you will open presents at some point, or you're sitting now in the stupor of torn wrapping paper and breakfast. But have you ever asked yourself this question? What does Jesus want for Christmas? What present would you bring him today? In the entire Christmas story, it is jam-packed with ideas of worship. The first worship experience we see are the angels, and they say, "Behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." They responded with worship. Jesus is born. The shepherds left their flocks, and they rushed into Bethlehem, and there at the stable, in the manger, in the cow barn, they find Yeshua wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they begin to worship. And they begin to say, "He is the one." And as they left, everybody they passed, everybody they talked to, they said, "You're not going to believe it. We found the Messiah. Yeshua is here. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah is here. King Messiah." And it says that the people marveled at these shepherds. A few short years later, the Magi, who were probably descended from Daniel, who had been taught about dreams and prophecy, knew that the king had been born. So they show up in Bethlehem, or first in Jerusalem, where King Herod greets them because the Magi were to be feared. They were kingmakers. And he said, what are you looking for? He said, we come to see he who is born King of the Jews, that we may worship him. Now, Herod was a paranoid little fella, so he assumed that this King of the Jews was a political king and was going to take his throne. So he concocts a plan. When you find him, come back, tell me so that I can worship him. And when the Bible says that when they got to the house, by this time Jesus was a toddler, these magi, these learned men from Babylon, bowed on their knees and worshiped the child. You need to understand that every point in Jesus' life, there was worship involved. From the very beginning, when Mary was given the news, she says, be it so unto me, and she worshiped. This Christmas, it is not about, and you've heard the story of the Grinch, it's not about packages and bags and ribbons and bows. It's something more. We'll go to our candlelight services. We'll go to our Christmas Day services. And sometimes we do everything by rote memorization. We just do without realizing that when Jesus stepped out onto the stage of humanity, all the fallen realm knew their time was limited. They knew Genesis 3:16 as well as any Bible scholar. They knew that once he came, he would bruise and destroy the fallen realm's power. As a matter of fact, if you'll study out, you find that when the Magi bowed to Jesus, you begin to see the magic, the false gods, the fallen realm, including by the end of the first century, the great oracle at Delphi, which was demons that would speak and give prophecies, finally said, we can't say anything else because these new believers, the followers of the true God, have shut us down. And for 2,000 years, all of these spirits have been held at bay. But as we approach the return of Yeshua, will begin to find that these spirits are starting to peek their way back through. To really understand it, I would commend you to the work of Jonathan Kahn, Derek Gilbert, and Sharon Gilbert. But what you need to understand, Jesus poured himself into one of these vessels. He walked, he hungered, he thirsted, he grew tired. Everything that you and I feel, he felt. So that we have a high priest who can be touched by our infirmities. On this Christmas morning, and of course we know that he wasn't born December 25th. But on that first Christmas morning, as Mary held this newborn child in her hand, and if you've ever held a newborn, especially if it's yours, there is that feeling. Yet when he was dedicated at the temple, the priest said, a sword will run through your heart. He's come to save his people from his sin, from their sins, and it'll be the downfall of many. Because of Bethlehem, we fast forward to resurrection. Because of resurrection, we can fast forward one more time to return. At that moment, at his return, the fallen realm, the righteous, and the unrighteous will all bow their knees and say, he is Lord. But here's the difference. We've said it on this side of eternity. We're now just simply declaring a fact for all the world to hear. The fallen realm will be declaring a fact because they are lost. They have no way they can ever be saved. And those that have hardened their heart and not heard the gospel of Yeshua, when they stand at that judgment seat and say, he is Lord, it's just now a declaration of fact. So let me offer you something this morning. Let me offer you a Christmas present. If you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sins, if you don't know him in a special way, let today be that day. Let today be the day that you say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's risen from the dead, and he's soon coming. And if you'll believe that in your heart, he can save you to the uttermost. Or as I've heard the Kingdom Air sing, I'll never get over the blood that I'm under. Can we pray? Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your power, and your grace. I ask, Father God, that you'll take this word this morning and set the captive free. And if there's anyone today that's hearing this for the first time and they don't know you and the free pardon of sin, let them say right now, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the true Son of God and that you resurrected from the dead and you are Lord. And I give you the lordship of my life. And that, Lord, when they make that declaration, you'll bring them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You'll bring them from death to life and make them a new creature in Christ. And for what I know that you're going to do, I give you praise, I give you glory, and give you honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're in the Decatur, Texas area, we're going to and you are looking for a Christmas Day service at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at Victory Family Church. They're going to have a service, and we're going to go join them and join them in worship. Don't forget, next week, of course, is the new year. We're going to be taking communion, continuing on in Hebrews. But I believe if you'll just tell somebody about this broadcast and have them like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or like and subscribe if you're on your favorite podcasting service. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansbury, and I'll see you next year in 2023. Have a great day. May his grace and peace be multiplied to you, and that this Christmas will mean something different than it ever has before. Have a great day, have a great week, and have a very Merry Christmas.